In the clash of the heavyweights, it was Real Madrid who came out on top.
Vinicius Junior, he's got Benzema in the middle, his cross is behind him, but it's full for Rodrigo, who thumps it home. A great finish, and it's Real Madrid 3-2.
No such battle in Bergamo as Liverpool put on a five-star display.
Mane, oh, what a pass to Diogo Jota. Jota, this for his hat-trick, and he rolls it into the back of the net. Atalanta 0, Liverpool 5.
Meanwhile, Lokomotiv and Atletico shared the spoils in Russia.
The final whistle has sounded and it has finished. Lokomotiv Moskva 1, Atletico Madrid 1.
We'll react to all of the night's action and we'll tell you how two teams hit six away from home. Welcome along, I'm Chris Parrott, and we're going to be looking back on a brilliant night of action. So many goals on night five of this season's competition. I'm joined by commentators Adam Summerton and Jackie Oatley, and we've got European football expert Kevin Hatchard as well. Kev, what a night. And for two German clubs in particular, both scoring half a dozen on the road. That does not happen very often.
No, for Bayern München, it's a little more routine for them. But for Borussia Mönchengladbach, this is a red-letter day for them. It's a really big step forward. It was obviously a disaster for Shakhtar, but you have to give immense credit to Marco Rosa and his team for the way that after a rather sticky start to the season domestically, they have just hit this rich vein of form. And they are starting to believe they belong at this level.
They certainly will after that success in Kiev. More on that in a moment. We have a tradition, as listeners will know, three-word match reports. Jackie Oatley, it's your debut, so we'll come to you first. You're watching Atalanta against Liverpool. Is it possible to sum up that one in three words?
Sublime front three.
Very nice. I thought you were going to say something about Diogo Jota. I suppose he was part of the front three, though, wasn't he?
Very much so. But of course, it wasn't just him. It was Salah and Mane as well. Hat-trick for Jota, two beautiful left-foot finishes and a right-footed strike after controlling the ball beautifully with his left. And then a goal and an assist each for Salah and Mane. So I think Jurgen Klopp will be absolutely delighted, not just with his brand new signing, but with his evening's work.
I'm sure he will. Adam Summerton was watching Real Madrid against Inter. Your three words, please.
Madrid redeem themselves, I think, because having been 2-0 up, to see themselves pegged back to 2-2, I think there would have been a lot of frustration had they not gone on to win that, and they did, and as you said, they found a way, and when the critics are perhaps sharpening their knives and their pens, they've managed to get their first win of the Champions League group stage.
Yeah, let's start with the big one at the Estadio Alfredo Di Stefano. The 13-time winners Real Madrid took on three-time Champions of Europe Inter.
Well, Benzema here has turned it home for Real Madrid. Inside 25 minutes, they take the lead. Confusion at the back for Inter, and Benzema has profited from that. And it's Real Madrid 1, Inter 0. Plenty forward here for Real Madrid. Kroos takes it from the left-hand side. Ramos with the header, and in it goes. Past Handanovic, who barely moved, and it's Real Madrid 2, Inter 0. Oh, Lautaro Martinez with a lovely finish from almost on the penalty spot. It was a fantastic flick to find him, and then Lautaro Martinez did the rest. Real Madrid 2, Inter 1. Inter win back possession through Brozovic as Arturo Vidal plays one over the top now. The header by Lautaro Martinez as Perisic brings it down and finds the back of the net. And Antonio Conte's side have come from 2-0 down to level this up. Real Madrid 2, Inter 2. Vinicius Junior, he's got Benzema in the middle. His cross is behind him, but it's full for Rodrigo, who thumps it home. Devastating finish from the substitute, and Real Madrid are back in front.
And Rodrigo's goal was the difference. Adam joins us now. That was hard fought, but the 3 points for Real Madrid could be absolutely enormous. And from Inter's point of view now, a real mountain to climb if they want to make it through to the last 16.
Yeah, they're up against it, but they have, of course, got to play Real Madrid again in Italy, and they'll take some comfort from that. But this was a game that really, you look at that final sort of 10 minutes, I remember saying in the commentary to Kevin Hatchard, look, this could go either way. It was really hard to call. It is a game that Inter could easily have won. And I think in the assessment of it, and the assessment of the fact that Inter is still yet to win in the UEFA Champions League group stage, we should remember how close this was. But it was these defensive deficiencies that we've seen throughout the season, unsurprisingly, from a Conte side that have caught up with them again. I mean, it was one of those games. It could easily have been more, couldn't it? It could easily have been 4-4, 5-5. I mean, there were plenty of chances for both sides. And, you know, I suppose as much as, you know, Real Madrid will be happy, clearly, with the victory, there are still a lot of question marks over that performance for me. And you know, although we praised him in the first half, Ramos was probably at fault for two of the goals as well. So whilst they've maybe got away with one slightly here, Real Madrid, there will still be, when they pick through this and analyse this and look over the video, there'll be a lot of things in that performance as well that they will think they can do better too.
Yeah, I think Adam's absolutely right. I think there were plenty of things that Real Madrid did well. I thought when Inter were trying to build from the back, they pushed Kroos onto Brozovic, made it very difficult. They went man for man. The press was much better than it had been against Shakhtar Donetsk. And the winning goal is sensational because Vinicius Junior and Rodrigo came on as substitutes, the young Brazilian wingers. Vinicius catches everybody out with the timing of the cross. It looks as though he's going to take the ball down the line, but he picks out Rodrigo early, and Inter on the back foot as a result. And then Rodrigo, who seems to really enjoy playing in the Champions League, that brilliant hat-trick against Galatasaray last season, one touch to control, no hesitation, just smashes it beyond Handanovic, who's one of the best goalkeepers out there. So that was great. I think Adam's right that there are areas that Real will look at. They'll look at the loss of intensity in the second half. I think they'll be disappointed with that. I wonder with Sergio Ramos whether he feels he's got to do a bit too much in this defence because it hasn't been functioning well. And for both goals, he goes out to Barella away from Martinez for the first. Barella's flick is outrageous. It's so good to find Martinez and a brilliant finish. But he is out of position and he leaves Varane a bit too much to do. And the second goal, he goes out trying to chase the ball down. It then gets played over the top of him. And Martinez, who found it very difficult at times to get away from Ramos, suddenly had space. Lovely header down for Perisic and a super finish. Inter will look at this and think it's an opportunity missed because you look at the three goals, one's a bad back pass, one is static defending at a set piece, the third is excellent. But I think the first two, they'll be really frustrated by.
Adam, this says a lot about the character, though, that Real Madrid have, doesn't it? Given that midway through, well, not even midway through, about 15 minutes from time a week ago in Germany, they were 2-0 down against Gladbach and potentially staring at a very problematic situation, and they've subsequently picked up 4 points in, you know, 100 minutes of Champions League football. So it's never a bad thing if you're not absolutely firing on all cylinders, but you are still picking up points.
Yes, that's true. And they always find a way. I mean, they've never failed to qualify for the UEFA Champions League knockout stages. And they're playing in the competition for a 25th time. So when you've got that sort of history behind you, that record of success behind you, that's going to be encouraging as well. I think that really matters, history in this competition, more than perhaps any other I can think of off the top of my head. That know-how of having been there and done it. And it is a squad that is still probably in the process of a bit of a refresh. And I think in that respect, it was probably very encouraging that the fact that the two players you combine for the winning goal are two of the younger players in the squad. You know, and what I'm saying about the squad being refreshed, well, there's two players who can help do that in Vinicius Junior, who's, you know, maybe been criticised just of late for some of his performances, and Rodrigo as well, whose finish, as Kevin said, was fantastic. So they're not dominant, but then, you know, we've seen them in the group stages before where they haven't been dominant. They've gone on and won it.
Yes.
So you can't read too much into it, I guess, at this stage of the competition.
I was going to say, Real Madrid as a club always tend to peak in March and April and May, and that's why they've won 13 trophies, I guess. One on Antonio Conte quickly, Kevin. It's always the accusation thrown at him for all the domestic success at Juventus and Chelsea in particular, but also since he's been at Inter. The Champions League as a coach, he hasn't cracked it yet. One quarter final, which, given his incredible achievements at those three clubs, Of course, he won it as a player, this competition, but something happens on Champions League nights when Conte can't get the best out of his team. Would that be a fair assessment of this evening, or would that be unfair?
I think the Champions League is about moments, and sometimes they go for you and sometimes they go against you. A lot of moments seem to go against his teams in the Champions League. I think of the performance away at Shakhtar when they hit the frame of the goal and, you know, really should have won that game and couldn't quite make it happen. And in this game, Adam's absolutely right. It was there to be won. And Lautaro Martinez, having played really well, has a chance at 2-2 where he tries to bend the ball for the far corner and he doesn't miss by much, but he does miss. And if that moment goes for you, I think Real Madrid then, psychologically, having blown a 2-0 lead, then find it very, very difficult to get back in the game. And you add all of those moments up, and I go back to the Europa League final against Sevilla and all of those little moments when Sevilla's way, I don't think he's unlucky. I think he's just missing that tiny little bit. And the frustration will be that it's hard to put your finger on, because was the setup wrong? No, not really. Did individual errors get made? Absolutely. There isn't a lot a coach can do about that.
Chris, just a thought as well, because this is a debate that's gone on for so long. It goes back to Conte's Juve days.
Yeah.
Do you think, just to, I suppose, ask you two a question, do you think that the formation that Conte plays, the tactical setup, has anything to do with why he's not successful? Because he is quite wedded, isn't he, to put it mildly, this three at the back formation. You know, if we look back at recent history of teams that have won the competition, I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head that played that way consistently. I'm struggling at the moment. I just wonder whether, does he need to be more flexible in that respect?
I think you can play that way. But I think you have to react when a team is trying to negate you. So there was a classic example of that in this game, because they were stopping Brozovic bringing the ball out from the back, getting the ball from the three centre-backs and coming forward. And all Real Madrid did, very simply, was push Kroos onto Brozovic and he couldn't get the ball. And so then as a coach, you've got to find a way of progressing that ball more quickly. What ended up happening for a big swathe of the game was Handanovic just banged it long, and they kept giving the ball away. So that's where a coach maybe needs to step up and say, right, we cannot do this, we have to do this. So you don't necessarily change the formation, but you change the way that you progress the ball. And they didn't do that quickly enough tonight.
It's a very good question though, Adam. I've had a very brief look on the internet whilst Kevin was answering about the three at the back. And I'm going to have, probably after this podcast and show has ended, because I am intrigued to know whether a team has won the Champions League starting with three at the back in a final, for example. I can't think of one, or has played that formation for the whole of the season. Very interesting point. The other match in Group B was one of those games when an away side hit six goals. Borussia Mönchengladbach at Shakhtar, and a great night for Alassane Player, who hadn't scored a Champions League goal before Tuesday night. He hit a hat-trick, one of them a very, very special strike from distance, which flew beyond the Shakhtar goalkeeper. Shakhtar, despite having some of their stars back from previously negative COVID-19 tests, picked 10 of the 11 that started in the win at Real Madrid and the draw against Inter. But Borussia Mönchengladbach took that young team apart in Kiev. A extremely impressive victory for a side, Kevin, who going in to match day three must have been thinking, what if Gladbach? Because they blew late leads against both Real Madrid and Inter in their opening two games.
I think it's a group that's growing in belief, not just in the Champions League, but in the Bundesliga as well. I think we saw that against RB Leipzig at the weekend when they got that 1-0 win. And I think because they've managed to keep hold of all of their top players, guys like Alassane Player, who you mentioned, Marcus Thuram stayed, Denis Zakaria has been injured, but he's still at the club, Nico Elvedi, Matthias Ginter, all of these guys are still there. And I think the squad is deeper, and I think that helps. They look fresher when these big games come about. And I do think they're learning. Jan Sommer, the goalkeeper at the weekend, talked about it's nice to keep a clean sheet because they managed to finally do that at the weekend against Leipzig. And it's nice to hang on. And I think Marco Rose is great, the coach, at taking those lessons on, and he's honest. When they don't deserve to win a game, he will absolutely say that, and he'll say that publicly. And I think they're getting better all the time, and it's great for German football that a team that qualified in fourth in the Bundesliga can produce a performance like that and against the big boys like Inter and Real.
Finalists in 1977, of course, Mönchengladbach never reached the knockouts in the Champions League era. Group B looks like this. Gladbach top at the midway point, remember, for all of the clubs on Tuesday night. 5 points. Shakhtar second, 4 points. Real Madrid just behind them on 4 points as well on the head-to-head. And Inter bottom of the pile as things stand on 2 points. Gladbach, by the way, scored 6 of 35 goals on Tuesday, and there were a few more in Bergamo, where Atalanta took on Liverpool.
Diogo Jota inside the penalty area, holds up the challenge, and it's a wonderful finish. And Diogo Jota has done it again for Liverpool. It's Atalanta 0, Liverpool 1. Gomez with a long ball, finds Jota inside the box, left-footed touch, right-footed goal! It's Diogo Jota yet again! His fifth goal in 4 games for Liverpool. It was a wonderful first touch, a sublime second touch. Atalanta 0, Liverpool 2. And it's cleared away to Salah. He races over the halfway line. Hatterball's trying to chase him. It's still Mo Salah. He wants to turn it onto his left foot. He does. And we know what he does with his left foot. And that is 3-0 to Liverpool. And here's Mane. Mane chips the ball over Sportiello. Just 4 minutes into the second half. And Liverpool have doubled their half-time advantage. It's Atalanta 0, Liverpool 4. Mane, oh, what a pass to Diogo Jota. Jota, this for his hat-trick, and he rolls it into the back of the net. Atalanta 0, Liverpool 5.
Jackie Oatley with the commentary, and she joins us now. I've seen a remarkable stat, Jackie. Diogo Jota, his third hat-trick in his last 8 European games. That is, I mean, that's Cristiano Ronaldo, Lionel Messi-esque. Just how good was he?
It's almost like he's half decent at football, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Yes, I mean, I saw a lot of him at Wolves, and he did. He scored a hat-trick against Besiktas in December in the Europa League, and that was part of 5 goals in 2 games. But then he didn't score in 8 games, and then he scored 6 in his next 3, including a hat-trick against Espanyol in February. But then he didn't score in his next 7 games. So if you ask any Wolves fans about Jota, they'll say, fabulous player, extremely streaky, which is perhaps why he was on the bench for them at the start of this season, and perhaps why they accepted a £41 million offer, potentially rising to 45, although Liverpool only had to pay £4 million for him in the first season. But what fabulous value for money. He's still only 23 years of age. He has everything. He can score with his right foot, his left foot. He can score with his head, though he didn't tonight. And he has so much trickery, and he's so, so calm, which is what we saw for his first couple of goals. And wonderful, wonderful finishes. And poor old Atalanta, they just didn't know how to deal with him.
Sounds like it. Let's hear from an understandably delighted Jota now.
Doesn't happen so often to score 5 in 1 game. So I think that's good. The clean sheet as well. So if he can do the clean sheet against City, I'm pretty sure we win the game.
Well, he looked ever so happy with the match ball as he walked off. And no surprise, Jackie, in Liverpool with 3 wins from 3 now, can almost taste the last 16 again, really.
They can indeed. I mean, they were so dominant in this game. I have to admit, I did expect a lot more from Atalanta, but you have to give full credit to Liverpool for the way they approached the game. They were so positive, 2-0 up at half-time. And at the start of the second half, it was a really positive start from Atalanta. They were going for it. But then, of course, a clearance by Curtis Jones from an Atalanta corner, and away raced Mo Salah over the halfway line. It was almost inevitable what was going to happen. Soon it was 3-0. A couple of minutes later, it was 4-0 as Salah played in Mane for another fabulous finish. And then Jota completed his hat-trick. So it really was one-way traffic tonight. And it's exactly what Liverpool needed, because it's now 5 wins in a row, but it wasn't always plain sailing for them this season. In terms of the goals they've conceded, 15 in the Premier League in just 7 games. That's the same number as Chelsea conceded in the entire season when they won the title back in 2004-2005. And of course, we know what happened with Virgil van Dijk, their leader at the back. Didn't even think about him till the last couple of minutes when I was thinking just how well 19-year-old Reece Williams had done. So calm in that defence alongside Gomez, with Robertson and Alexander-Arnold either side. And I think Jurgen Klopp winning his first game in Italy at the 6th attempt will be absolutely delirious with every single one of his players.
Jackie, really important that Jota has been showing up in the last few games, I think, because if you look at what Liverpool have done, they've had this extraordinary run of success, won the Premier League title, got to 2 UEFA Champions League finals, won one of them, lost one of them. The durability of that front three, Firmino, Salah and Mane, has been unbelievable. More than you would expect over that length of time. So to have a guy who's gone straight in there and tapping Firmino on the shoulder, that'll just give the other two a nudge as well. And it's just going to increase that competition in that forward unit.
Absolutely. And the fact that Jota can play through the centre or he can play either side of a front three, he's so dynamic, he's so durable. I mean, you can hack him down all day long and he'll just bounce back. He barely missed a game for Wolves, I don't recall, through injury. And so, as you said, he can put pressure on all three of those players. And I was talking to a former international the other day and asked about how much of an effect it can have if you know you're not challenged for your place every week, and you know you're going to be one of the first names on the team sheet, compared to if you have a top player biting at your heels. And he said that it can increase your game by 15% because you know you have to be at the top of it. Whereas all this time, we know who the front three are because they tend to have performed so well. But Roberto Firmino isn't at the top of his game at the moment, and he did come off the bench tonight. He's perhaps lacking a little bit of confidence. But as far as Liverpool's concerned, their supporters and Jurgen Klopp, Diogo Jota is exactly what they needed on that front.
Yeah, very shrewd acquisition. Absolutely no surprise as well. The other match in Group D finished Midtjylland 1, Ajax 2. Ajax passing the 700 goal mark in European football, just the 6th club to reach that landmark. Of course, they are a club with a fantastic famed past. They did the business tonight, and they thought they were going to be without many of their stars due to positive COVID tests, but they managed to get some negative tests and get some players later to Denmark. A second plane arrived and they were able to play. Dusan Tadic was one of those players, and he scored from an indirect free kick in the 2-1 victory. And we can hear from the Serbian winger now.
We didn't have so much control, and this is what we don't want. And then after second half was better, we start to keep a little bit ball. And last phase is a little bit difficult because they play long balls and then we need to defend. But we did good and we take 3 points. It's for first 2 places will be between Liverpool, Atalanta and us, I think. Very good teams, and also Midtjylland, very good team. But I think these three teams, I think we are better, and then we will be fight between these three teams.
And it's gorgeously poised, Group D, after 3 matches. Liverpool top with 9 points. Ajax and Atalanta have 4. Midtjylland, the debutants, still without a point in their first season in the competition. OK, to Group A now. The 2016 runners-up Atletico were in Russia. They took on Lokomotiv in one of the 2 early kickoffs.
Herrera, curling it in, right-footed, helps on brilliantly. What a goal that is from Jose Jimenez. A flick header from 15 metres out. It snuck just inside the post, beyond the fingertips of Guilherm. And it's Lokomotiv Moskva 0, Atletico Madrid 1. A penalty kick to be overseen by Anton Miranchuk, who has scored in each of his last 2 games in all competitions. Make that 3 from 3. Sending Oblak to his left. The penalty kick went right, and it is Lokomotiv 1, Atletico Madrid 1. João Felix, 20 metres out, into the area. Out comes Guilherme, who gathers, bowls the ball out, and has played a huge part in a Champions League group stage point against all the odds for Lokomotiv Moskva. The final whistle has sounded and it has finished at Stadion Lokomotiv. Lokomotiv Moskva 1, Atletico Madrid 1.
Yeah, it was apt that Guilherme had the final touch, Kevin Hatchard. He was magnificent, because otherwise we probably would have been talking about how sparkling João Félix was again. It was a really good game, this.
Yeah, it was. And I think you have to be very impressed by what Lokomotiv have done in the last couple of games, because they gave Bayern München a real game. More opposition than many teams have done, not only in this competition, but in domestic football in Germany as well. And they carried on in a similar vein, and having conceded the goal that they did, would have been easy for them to fold and you know, just kind of slide away in this game. And they didn't do that at all. They really dug in. And they've been much, much better than I thought they might have been in this group, given the quality of opposition. I mean, if you're Lokomotiv and you draw Salzburg, Bayern München and Atletico, you're kind of thinking, thanks for that.
Yes.
But they've done so well. You have to really take your hat off to them, because it's not just been about digging in either. Yes, Guilherme was fantastic in this game, but they've tried to play. They've tried to really engage the opposition defences.
I think they've been different to last season, when they had an equally tough group of Atletico and Juve, and they that was under Yuri Semin, and Mario Nikolic has come in. They've definitely been more attacking, I think. And it was, as we heard as well, 8,000 fans in Russia, which was great to see, of course, and a wonderful atmosphere at the end as the Lokomotiv players were cheered off. Elsewhere in Group A, well, Bayern were at it again, Kevin, a 14th straight victory, a competition record, 6 more goals, and all that after falling behind to Salzburg, who, this was very Salzburg, actually play quite well, look really good going forward, ultimately then end up being beaten in the competition.
The thing with Salzburg is they will always give you a chance, because they want to play that progressive football. That's how they play in the Austrian Bundesliga. That's how they played in the Europa League a few seasons ago, when they had that magnificent run to the semi-finals. And that's how they've played in the Champions League. And it's refreshing to see. You don't want teams to just shut up shop against a team like Bayern, because quite frankly it wouldn't work anyway, because sometimes teams try and do that and they still play them off the park anyway. The thing that's amazing about Bayern is that there has been some talk in some of their games about, oh, they've not quite hit top gear.
I love this.
So they played Köln at the weekend and they beat them 2-1, and Hansi Flick and his players, Thomas Müller particularly, were visibly annoyed by how they played and said, oh, it was a bit casual, we could have done a lot better. Still won 2-1, and there was a late goal from Köln that made it look as though, you know, it had been closer than it was. But this kind of scoreline is kind of the baseline of what they're doing right now. You know, they are doing this as a matter of course. They're taking teams apart on a regular basis. The way they wiped the floor with Atletico Madrid really made the rest of Europe sit up and take notice. You think of the schedule they've had, Chris. You know, they've won the DFL Super Cup. They've won the UEFA Super Cup already. They've had games every few days. But they've put together such a strong squad. And Jackie talked about competition for places with Liverpool. I think that's absolutely the case with Bayern, because Robert Lewandowski apart, obviously he's going to be in the first 11, and Manuel Neuer, everybody else is on their toes, I think.
Absolutely ruthless. Robert Lewandowski did score 2, no surprise there. Maybe one slightly surprising goal scorer was Jerome Boateng. Doesn't get many, got a big header, and we can hear from him now.
We are very happy. 3 wins and 3 games is perfect for us. But of course, in the games we can improve. Like today was a hard game, and some things we can do still better. But at the end, we are very happy with the result. And of course, we are in the beginning of the season, so we still have time to improve. One of our strengths that we fight till the end, even if we are behind or like now draw, we believe in ourselves, and we knew Salzburg will get tired because they run a lot. So at the end, it was really clear for us. And yeah, we never gave up. And that you see at the end for us that we always believe to win.
So Group A looks like this after 3 matches. Bayern with 9 points, Atletico with 4, Lokomotiv with 2, Salzburg with 1. It's very tight behind Bayern at the moment. Okay, to the final group. Group C, Manchester City beat Olympiacos by 3-0. And they'll be particularly happy that one of their strikers returned from injury. Gabriel Jesus came off the bench and scored, and he was delighted to return.
It's so good for me. So when I got injury, I was so not happy, you know. Yeah, of course, everyone, every player, when get injury, is not happy. So I work a little, I work a lot to recover as quick as possible, because you know I want to be in the pitch helping my teammates. The guys is doing very well. So yeah, I'm so happy to come back and of course score a goal.
Manchester City very happy, and they are almost perfect in the group stage now most seasons, Kevin Hatchard, and another clean sheet, which I think Pep Guardiola will be happy about. Since shipping 5 in the English Premier League against Leicester, they've actually been pretty tight defensively.
Yeah, and I think that's hugely important for them, because we know what they can do in attack and midfield, but they have had that shaky element to their defending, and I think it's not just about individual defenders. I think it's a structural thing sometimes with them, but they were very, very solid against an Olympiacos team that can cause teams problems. I mean, they've done this twice now. They went to Porto, hung in there, had a couple of chances, didn't quite happen for them, and this was 1-0 for a long time this game, but City were patient. We talk about strikers, Ferran Torres has gone in there playing this false nine role,
yep,
showed his adaptability, and he scored 3 now at this level, and he looks a really astute capture. I think he's going to do really, really well for them.
Yeah, City top of the section on 9. Porto got a very good win against Marseille, who missed the penalty. So Porto are second in Group C on 6. Then come Olympiacos with 3, and Marseille bottom of Group C on 0. Okay, we're going to go back to Jackie Oatley now. This is probably the easiest question of the night. Your man of the match from Liverpool's victory at Atalanta.
Oh, it's a tough one. It could have been anyone, in fairness, but you can't not give it to Diogo Jota. What a night. He did nothing wrong whatsoever. Sublime.
Jackie, thank you very much. Adam Summerton, before your man of the match, you came up with a question. I think you might have answered it.
Well, yeah, talking about Conte playing 3 at the back, can you win the Champions League playing like that? 2 quick examples. Liverpool switched to a back 3 in the 2004-05 final, having started with a flat back 4. And Dortmund started with a back 3, 96-97 against Juventus. So there's 2 examples.
Love that, Adam Summerton. Did you know the answer and you just thought you'd ask it?
No.
Just to sound...
What I would say is that there aren't many examples. I mean, yeah. I'm sure other people would have noticed more, but they're the 2 that I could find. I've not gone all the way back then.
Your man of the match, please, from the Real Madrid game.
He was on the losing side, but Lautaro Martinez.
Lautaro Martinez, he was excellent. And Kevin Hatchard, from any other game tonight, who would you pick out in particular?
I'm going to go for Leroy Sané for his wonderful goal. I'm just glad to see him back playing.
Aren't we all? Kevin, Adam, Jackie, thank you very much. What a night. And on Wednesday, it's going to be special as well. We're back on air from 6:30 p.m. CET. We have full commentary of Istanbul Başakşehir against Manchester United in the early kickoff, followed by Leipzig against Paris Saint-Germain. Extended updates on Ferencváros against Juventus. Cristiano Ronaldo is in Juve's travelling party for that one. So 8 more excellent matches on Wednesday. Tuesday was a thriller. 35 goals, drama everywhere. Thank you very much for listening to the programme. It's been an honour to bring the Champions League to you. A great evening, a great start to Match Day 3 from myself, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the UEFA Champions League Match Day Live team. It is good night.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.